Good morning. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Luke this morning. The book of Luke, and I want to read a few passages out of the 15th chapter of Luke. Probably very familiar to most of you that if you've read your Bible much. In verse 1 it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." So the picture that we've got here before I continue on is when it says they drew near unto him, that's speaking about Jesus. So the scene is Jesus is present, and publicans, which were tax collectors, which were not the most popular people among in that day, and oftentimes were shady and dishonest in how they dealt with people. And then you also have sinners, and that's a very broad stroke right there. So you see Jesus here, and the crowd that begins to gather around him is a crowd that people do not look upon favorably. And the Pharisees that are standing there are watching this, and they begin to talk amongst themselves and murmur and whisper and paint Jesus in a negative light, because it says he receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And it's important that you see that picture of Jesus standing there, and those unfavorable characters in the Pharisees' eyes, they are coming to him. It says they drew near to him. And then in verse 3, Jesus begins to give three parables here, and I'm only going to look at the first two. He gives three parables here that are very interesting considering the scene that we have. Jesus says this, he spake this parable unto them, saying, and remember, this is spoken to his critics. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And then he goes on and he gives the last parable here, which is the parable of the prodigal son, which is probably one you're very familiar with. So when we look at this scene of Jesus standing there, and the sinners and the publicans are drawn to him, and they're coming to him, and they're gathered around, and the Pharisees are saying, "Look at this guy. This guy calls himself a religious person. And look at who he is hanging around." Then Jesus gives them these three parables. In order to understand these three parables, and I'm going to, again, go with the first two here, it's very important that we understand some other things first, and I'll flip over here and read a few verses to you. In Ephesians, the first chapter, in verse 14, this is speaking about the Spirit of God, it says, "...which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession." I want you to notice those two words, purchased possession, "unto the praise of his glory." Now, over in the book of Acts, in the 20th chapter, in verse 28, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Now, when we read those two verses out of Ephesians and out of Acts, what you've got to understand here is that the Bible describes the Lord's people as a purchased possession. It is something that belongs to him. It's his. He possesses it. And that might startle you to think that, but look, if you're a blood-bought child of God that was known and foreknown and predestinated before the foundation of the world, you do not belong to yourself. You don't belong to your spouse. You don't belong to your job or your children. You first and foremost, you are a belonging and inheritance to the Lord. You are his. You carry his namesake. When we look at, and you say, well, aren't all people possessed and owned by the Lord and belong to the Lord? The Bible says in Romans, the 8th chapter, that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Indicating there that there are some that are not possessed and belong to the Lord. But Ephesians and Acts tell us that there is a multitude that no man can number that he purchased, he owns, and they belong to him because, as Acts said, of the blood that he shed. It's important to understand that. Why? Because in Luke, the 15th chapter, we're dealing with things that belong to somebody. They're owned and possessed by somebody. I don't mean like demon possession. I mean they are part of their possession. That's what we're dealing with. And in the first one, it's a sheep. It's a shepherd that has 100 sheep. And it's also important to understand that these are things of value to the one who possesses them. I have lost many things, and it seems like the older I get, the more I lose. I have lost some things, and I think, now where did that go? Where did I put that? But it really is not significant to me, and I really think, well, if I find it, good. If I never find it, good. And some things you lose, you think, well, I'm not even going to waste time looking for it. It's just insignificant. But there are other things that you might lose that you will lose sleep over. You will tear your house apart. You will tear your vehicles apart trying to find it. Now, what's the difference between those two, the efforts that you put into finding those two different things? One of them has a value to you. One of them means something to you, and you want to seek it. You want to find it. You want to bring it back into your possession. I hope that makes sense. This sheep that this man, this shepherd, has lost, he does not say, it was a crooked leg old sheep. You know, it just never really did, get much wool to us. And, it was old. I'm just going to kind of let it go. He doesn't say that. He says, there's a value to this sheep. This sheep is special to me, and it means something to me, so much so that I'm going to go look for it. The lady with the coin, how many of you have walked by in a parking lot and seen a penny laying on the ground? If you've walked across a parking lot, you've probably seen a penny. How many of you have kept walking and not picked it up? I would say a lot of us. A lot of us probably just walk by the penny. How many of you have walked past a $100 bill and looked down and said, not that big a deal? The $100 bill has a great value to you. So you reach down and pick it up. This lady with a lost coin, she's got 10 pieces of silver. If she loses one, and she loses one of them, and the Bible says that she swept the house and she sought it diligently. She was looking for it. Why? Because there's value to it to her. It's not just a penny laying on the ground. It's something special. You think about the widow and the, I believe it was two mites that she had. You think about the widow. Now, if she drops one of those, do you think she goes and looks for it? Absolutely. Because it means something to her. Now, so the parables that we're looking at here in Luke, the 15th chapter, deal with ownership. They deal with something belonging to somebody. And they deal with whatever that is lost being of great value to them. Now, again, who is he? What audience does he have? He's got publicans. He's got sinners that probably included all manner of people under that umbrella. And then off to the side, he's got the Pharisees listening to him. And the lesson here really is for both parties. But I think probably specifically the lesson here was for the Pharisees. The lost sheep and the lost coin. The Bible speaks in Matthew, the 25th chapter, you can flip over there and read it sometime, that there's a day coming when the Lord will gather all nations to himself. And the Bible says that he's going to divide them, and he's going to put the sheep on his right hand, and he's going to put the goats on his left hand. And then he's going to look at the sheep and say, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." It's easy for us to see that sheep are, it's another description, another word to describe a child of God. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." He does not say, "My goats hear my voice." He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So sheep is another word for a child of God. And when you read about things that are lost in the Bible concerning people, it is always a sheep that is lost. You never find a description of a goat being described as lost. But it's a sheep that is lost. In what way are they lost? They're lost in the sense that they are no longer under the care and the shepherding of those that own them, that those that they belong to. The Bible tells us in Psalms, the 73rd chapter, it says, "They that are far from thee shall perish." And I've preached on the word lost before, and that's not my subject today. But a sheep that is with its flock, you know, a sheep is not it's not a predator. A sheep has very little defense. A sheep is an easy kill. The main thing that they've got is the other sheep around them, and they've got the shepherd. But once they leave the shepherd and they leave the flock of the sheep, they're a very easy target for the wolves to come get. There's safety with the sheep and being in the flock and being with the shepherd. But sometimes a sheep, for whatever reason, will wander and they'll go off. In our, you know, I guess in the way we describe it here, is sometimes you see a child of God, maybe grown up in the church, maybe loves the Lord, maybe exhibits at times in their life great evidences of the fruit of the Spirit. But for some reason or another, you see them begin to wander and they begin to stray. What is that? That's a sheep that is lost. How does the shepherd look at that? All right. Do you know the people that gathered around Jesus here when it says they drew near unto him, the publicans and the sinners? Do you know what he had gathered around him? It's very clear when you read this that Jesus had lost sheep gathered around him. Okay, Jesus is not looking at publicans and sinners. Jesus is looking at these are coins, these are sheep that were lost, but now they're found and they're back under the sound of my teaching. They're back under my shepherding. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He's trying to get these Pharisees to realize, like, yes, their behavior has been not what it needed to be. Their behavior has fallen short, absolutely, of the glory of God. Their behavior has broken commandment after commandment and law after law. I agree with you on that, Pharisee. But look where they are now. Look where they are here. The drawing power of the Spirit of God has found them. You see something, notice this now. There are people that will say, and I've heard them say it before, they'll say, "Well, I go out to the bars on Saturday night, and I go out to these awful places, and I do all that, but Jesus would have gone. Jesus would have gone because he wanted to be around sinners." But I want you to notice this. Jesus didn't go to these publicans and sinners. It says they drew near to him. Amen. How? By the drawing power of the Spirit of God. You see, the Lord doesn't have to put one foot in front of the other to go find his lost sheep. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord is not straitened, meaning it is not constrained, it is not bound, and it can go past boundaries and walls that human beings can never get through. And so that lost sheep, maybe that you know and you love right now, you say, "I just can't reach them." Don't fret, because the Spirit of the Lord is not straitened. And he is seeking those that are lost. And somehow through the drawing power of the Spirit of God, these publicans and sinners have come to Jesus. They've drawn near to Jesus. And instead of the Pharisees rejoicing, because what was heaven doing? If you read through there, what did heaven do? Heaven was exploding with joy. Heaven was excited, and they, because these sinners had come back, these lost sheep had come back to repent, and heaven is exploding with joy. And the Pharisees are over here saying, can you believe this? Can you believe they're doing this? The scene here might look something like this in modern day time. What if at the beginning of service, the most heinous motorcycle gang that you can think of came in here and filled up a third of our pews? And then what if the harlots of the area came in and sat and filled another third of our pews? What would your reaction be? Would you be like, oh, what are they doing here? I'm not comfortable with this. I don't like this. This is, something's going on. We probably would be a little Pharisaical about it. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus is there, and Jesus begins to teach, and Jesus begins to preach, telling them that this world is full of my people that I purchased with my own blood. They belong to me. These publicans and these sinners that have been drawn to me, these shady characters that may walk through the back doors and sit in our church one day and sit in these pews, the Lord is saying, they belong to me. And you know, Pharisees, if you lost a valuable piece of a coin, or if you lost something valuable to you, you know that you would go to no ends to find it. And he says, these publicans and sinners that you're looking down your nose at, they're of high value to me. They're of such high value that I purchased them not with some great miracle. I purchased them with my own blood. I took a beating like no man has ever taken. I endured suffering from a human standpoint more than any man had experienced. And I took a suffering from God that no man will ever experience that are his. I paid for them. They mean something to me. They're valuable to me. And look where they are. The spirit that goes out and deals with my people has brought them back to me. And they're found. And heaven rejoices. Here's the take home. You know, Matthew the seventh chapter says this, and this is it's a negative verse. I mean, it's not a verse that makes you want to just, you know, jump for joy, and it's just kind of a negative, sorrowful verse. And it gives us a very sorrowful truth. In Matthew, the seventh chapter, in verse 13, it says, enter ye at the straight gate. That straight means narrow. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. And it says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. It doesn't say eternal life. That says life. And few there be that find it. This is not talking about heaven. Even though you read a lot of people that will say, oh, there's just not going to be many people in heaven. We better, you know, ramp up our evangelism a little bit. It's not talking about heaven. Because the Bible tells us in Revelations, when John sees those that have been purchased, those that have been paid for by the blood of the Lamb, John says it was a multitude that no man could even number. All right, that's what's in heaven. Not a few. It's a multitude that no man can number. But the sobering truth about this verse is there will be more blood-bought, possessed, purchased children of God that are not following the Lord's way than there will be that are. That's Bible. That's a sobering thought. To think that the Lord looks out at all those that he possessed and there's more lost, not in an eternal sense, but in a now, here and now timely sense, there are more blood-bought children of God that are off the path the Lord wants them on than there are that are on it. That's sad. But the Lord does not walk by and look at them like a penny in the parking lot. He doesn't walk by them like the penny in the parking lot and say, well, I can take or leave them. It's not really going to change my life. It's not really worth me even bending over and picking it up. I don't know who had that penny before. He walks by them and he says, they are of such high value to me that I'll leave the 99 to go find the one. And I will sweep my house and I will turn over every piece of carpet. I will look under every piece of furniture. I will look in the couch cushions. I will look everywhere. Because it's important to me that what I own and what I bought is with me where I'm at now. Heaven is not the issue. Okay, the Bible, I mean, you could go on and on about the Lord is very clear that those that he purchased will be with him in heaven. There's no question about that. But will they be with him now is the question. Will they walk under the care of the shepherd? Or will they stray from the shepherd and go be maimed by the wolves? Or will they sit? What value, how much worth is there to a coin, a silver piece of coin that nobody knows where it's at? It's useless. I could take that $100 bill that we're all seeking for. I could take it and bury it out somewhere in those woods and cover it up, and it's useless to everybody. And here's just the sad truth of it, too. There are purchased possessions that belong to the Lord that are useless in the kingdom of God. Why? Because they did not follow the straight and narrow way that the Lord wants them to be on. They went off. Okay, here's the other thing I want you to go home with. A lot of God's people are lost. A lot of God's people are sitting in a pew every Sunday morning and are lost. Not going to hell. Don't let anybody ever convince you that the word lost means hellbound. But a lot of God's people are lost. Here's the other thing I want you to take home. The Lord said multiple times, I will have mercy, not sacrifice. How do we deal with the lost? I say we deal with them the way Jesus dealt with them. What did Jesus do? Oh my goodness, what are y'all doing here? Y'all are making my ministry look bad. Publicans, please, you dishonest bunch of thieves, get out of here and quit hanging around me. You're making my ministry look bad. Oh my goodness, here come the sinners, the adulterer, the fornicator, the liar, the murderer, the thief. The abusive parent, would y'all please get away from here? You're a black mark on this beautiful white congregation, okay? This clean congregation, you're a black mark to us on that. You're a smudge on that. Get away from us. That's not what he said. That's sacrifice right there. That's killing them. What is mercy? You are my possession of high value. Even if you don't have any value in the eyes of the Pharisees, I don't care because I bought you. You know what? I've got some things that I own that if I gave them to you, you'd probably throw it in the trash can. It means nothing to you, but it means everything to me. These lost mean everything to the Lord. When we run across them in our daily lives, remember that Jesus had mercy, not sacrifice. Remember that Jesus is sending his Spirit out to draw them back to him, and he's searching for them. Remember, the last thing that the lost that are off the path of God need, the last thing they need is for us to kill them with our ridicule. Now, that does not mean, again, I go back to this, that does not mean that you go out and party with them. That does not mean you go out and you pat them on the back and support them in all the bad decisions they make. That's not what that means. It means you're loving and you're kind. And as they drew to Jesus, if they walk through that back door, you don't look down your nose and be like, I can't believe she's even here. You have mercy because the shepherd, when somebody walks through that back door, I want you to think in your mind, the shepherd has found one of his sheep. And I want you to hear the applause and the angels erupting with joy in heaven. A lot of lost sheep out there. I have been one at times. I may be one again. But I'm thankful to know that the Lord is looking for us. I hope that's been profitable, and please pray for Brother Tim as he comes.